sense of a toxic business incubator that was supposed to be helpful to you in your business. Welcome to It's Her Turn. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, and today we have Tanya Taylor Rubenstein with us. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her before we bring her on. She is a master somatic writing coach with over 3 decades of experience in helping people write powerfully and from an embodied, deeply connected way. Now, I've known Tanya for 3 decades now, and we raised our kids together in the same area of New Mexico. And so I saw her do amazing work back with the Cancer Monologues, and I've seen her work just getting, you know, more creative, more connected and helpful for people over this time. So Tanya, it's a real gift to have you here. Thank you for being here.
Kate, it's so fun to be here with you. I'm really excited. And I also want to remind you, once upon a time, you and I even taught a really wonderful workshop together with women going through divorce. And you were doing the therapeutic piece and I was doing sort of the stories with them. And so what a great deep history for us to just draw from, you know, and to now our kids are all grown and launched. So thank you for having me.
Well, it's really funny too, because I remember we intentionally made it an embodied program that we were doing at the level of awareness we had around embodiment. And that was, you know, a long time ago. That was 20 years ago. Yeah. 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Tanya, this topic, we know it's getting bigger and bigger and more people are talking about it. Share with us a little bit about what was going on with these business incubators that was so challenging and like kind of standing out for you that something was up, something was off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's really interesting, Kate, because you and I like have this deep, deep history of working very profoundly with local community for decades, right? And being very devoted to the work itself. So I didn't even know about these business incubators till about, it was really like 4 years ago. And it was a local person in Santa Fe who kind of took me into that world. And then 2 years ago when I was like, oh my gosh, like there's a path forward for my work to get into the greater world, you know, and it had been out there before, but so many of us are drawn, like we've been doing this deep work for decades and yeah, we want it to serve more people and, you know, without, you know, and find a way and with the online world. So it seems so hopeful. So it was only 2 years I went in, but it was like the promises made here. This is where it got so tricky. The promises made versus what is actually delivered. And sort of, I've been so blessed in terms of working with and collaborating with very depth-based people like yourself over decades and sincere, like, we're in it for the real healing work. We're in it to really like get to the real story. So there was an assumption on my part that entering these online business incubators because of how the marketing is articulated and the fact that they do identify our pain points and our desires. Right. And there's sort of the psychology around it, but it's to sell first over what is actually delivered. And that's the cognizant dissonance, right? The disconnect.
Exactly.
You know, so like I entered because somehow I fell into a funnel. I like to say that because I think this is how I got into somebody's funnel. And all of a sudden I'm feeling like this person's talking right to me. And I'm so excited because I do have these pain points. It's like, yeah, I've been doing this work for years. I do want it to serve more people. I want to make more money without being completely burnt out, especially like going into menopause and like these midlife years and like dealing with some of my own health issues. And like, I can't go the way I did when I was younger without being totally burnt out. And I think it calls so many of us, right? Because this is the thing. But we're masters at what we do, but we don't have this business marketing background and we're not going to go get an MBA. There's no desire. That's not happening. So it's like, oh, this seems like the wonderful middle way.
And the MBA, and the MBA wouldn't serve anyway, because the world of business online is its own animal. And, you know, while you were going through your version of it, I was experiencing my own, where you're, you say, I have so much to offer. I have so much experience, so much expertise. I want to serve. I want to help the people that I love to help. And I want to do it in a greater way. And you're right. There's just this incredible focus on marketing without really understanding the integrity side of it. So what was your experience of the ones that you got into? What was that like for you?
Well, the first thing where there was just, it was a huge red flag. I did like a little light kind of like 12-week summer program that was real light online and just like this entry point that was very sort of light, and it was good for me. It was like, it was different, but it was good. It got me stretching around visibility, getting out there more with my work, like I would say very positive. There was a little bit of sort of new age spiritual bypass, and I chose to ignore it. And it was sort of like a take what you like and leave the rest. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, been in Santa Fe, understand that, not interested in that. But I was getting enough from it. And the cost was low enough where that what it was, what I got out of it was enough of a value. And I don't remember what it cost, but under $1,000. So it was like, now, of course, then you find out those are sort of the entry ways to these big high ticket programs that take people in for 10, 15, 20,000 a year. And it's not that there's no place for high ticket. People have paid me a lot to write their books with them over the years. It's more where the delivery happens. So they started in the heavy marketing thing, bring your friend to this retreat in Florida, this mindset retreat. And I invited a dear friend of mine, and we know each other from Bioneers. She's a speaker. Mm-hmm. She's two TED Talks, you know, like depth-based social justice worker, DEI worker, very accomplished. So I said, hey, because she's another one like us, love to, you know, come down to this thing. They're saying like master teachers like us and facilitators can get their work. So she joined me. And she's a Black woman. And immediately in day one, you know, there were red flags for her. And when she pointed them out, they were less obvious to me, just simply because as a white woman who's continually doing their unpacking work around unconscious privilege and bias and lens, I didn't see it right away. I wasn't entirely like into the culture, though. It seemed very shallow compared to, well, the leader seemed very shallow compared to the depth in the marketing, right? And then you find out later, it doesn't mean that the leader even developed that marketing, right?
Exactly.
It felt very like light compared to what I was expecting. And I was also expecting more meat on the bone. And I had already signed up, by the way, at this point for the big incubator in, you know, whatever, the four. So I had made a big several thousand dollar commitment and signed a contract for a year at this point. And but there were red flags. And by the way, my friend and I confronted some of the leadership on the team around probably covert racism, unconscious bias representation from the stage. And it was not like a warm, welcoming, open response. So first of all, like that was a huge level. Now, here's the thing I want to say that is the rub. There were some pieces of marketing kind of advice that were good. And of course, then we get hooked on the community, because there were some fabulous people there looking for similar things, right? So this is where it gets, like, to me, complicated.
Very complicated.
And for me, there was a kind of feeling of like exhaustion and burnout, where I was really desperate to find a way to monetize my work in a different way. And so many therapists, solo practitioners, right? We've done it for years. Mm-hmm. And you just watch people burn out and work till they die. And they're promising a different possibility. And I do think there is a different possibility in it. So anyway, yes, I love that container. I sort of ended up confronting the leader on racism online, on racism. And it was always for me in her container about white privilege and racism, first through my friend's lens, then through my own, to the point where, you know, my friend said to me at the time, you know, culture eats strategy any day of the week. So the culture was bad.
Right.
And then we think we can get the strategy from it, but we can't because then it's sort of tainted. I went into another business incubator. It was a very different story, but it was, again, the not promising, the not delivering on what is promised.
Right.
I guess that's it.
Well, and again, you know, it's promise, but it's also, it's touching those pain points of, I want a community that I feel connected to. I want that support to not be burning out and monetize differently and reach a greater audience. It's that challenge of all of that, the wants, the desires, the wish for that connection. When you have been a solopreneur most of the time, you don't have, you might have people you really love, but you're not all in the same little tribe going the same direction. And that there's something very, you know, inviting and soul supporting in that idea. So then you're in the second one.
Yeah. Well, and in the second one, I really got something so important, which is, I mean, it's 30 years ago, I wrote a one-woman show called Honeymoon in India about basically sort of the guru sort of mentality. And I felt a sense of confronting it in myself at the time. And I'm not talking Asian guru, traditional, whatever. I'm talking all the people that descend on that, the white people. We want to give our power away and like, there's something about that. So what I saw was the same thing. One person at the top. It's very patriarchal. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman or a non-binary person. One person at the top is going to have all the answers. And then it's all sort of this trickle-down thing. We're there, the community, it's like there's no there in community. In the second one, it was really disappointing because there was no intimacy. I mean, the leader doesn't even show up in their own container where you can even ever ask them a question. And they're just growing, growing, growing. And then another sort of abhorrent part of it to me was the energetic of the people who sort of took over and all their posts or what was focused on in the community and everything are just selling to each other.
Okay. Okay. So again, the culture didn't really provide what was spoken to. It didn't have the connection. It didn't have the intimacy, the co-creativity that, you know, you were really expecting.
Right.
So,
well, right. And as a teacher, right, as a teacher myself, I know it would be really nice to just hand people a bunch of curriculum and like walk away. That's not how learning happens.
Right.
And if you can't ever, because there's now so many people, but you're paying a few thousand dollars a year for this, 3,800, I don't remember the exact amount, but you're paying and you can never ask anybody because there are 500 people on calls, 700 people on calls. If you're one of the two people picked that week, but you could be in it for years and never be able to talk to anybody. It's not how we learn.
Right. It's not how we learn. And it's certainly not how we can address, you know, when they talk about pain points, a lot of the marketing is about the, you know, places of blocks and the places of, you know, struggling mindset, which are connected to our sense of self and our insecurities, our self-doubt. You don't learn, you know, you can't read a document and learn away that self-worth challenge that we as women tend to have. That's a deeper conversation. It's a deeper container that needs to happen for that kind of transformational work. So you're right. Without the intimacy, without the true, you know, dynamic culture, that's just missing. That's missing.
And it's trauma-based, right? You and I both know this. So if it's trauma-based, it's not just mindset. So that's right. Another thing. It's like, oh, let's all change our mindset. Okay, that'll take us. That's something. there's something in that, which I can absorb something about mindset. But without support to move through it experientially ourselves, to me, that's where it really falls out of integrity. And that was the second one that does a lot of stuff around worthiness work, mindset, self-belief. But if there's no way to have this, you know, to talk to people at the quote unquote top and get like really sort of a deeper relationship to that, to me, it again falls short, and certain people dominate also in the conversation.
Yeah. So tell me, Tanya, what did that feel like to have to walk away from two of these incubators that you were really hoping was going to, you know, support you, help you find these next steps to move out of the burnout and into this, you know, better way of serving?
Well, you know, I went through a process of, especially with the first one, because my heart was more there, really feeling like isolated, alone, like I'd wasted money. You know, I went through the shame that happens when it's like, oh, this is must be me that I don't fit in again with the culture. I'm so this, that, or the other. But also in my integrity, I knew it was absolutely the right thing and it wasn't something I wanted to support. But again, I'd met some people there I really liked. And it was also hard that nobody in that high-end container, except for one woman, really stood with me. And she's a very powerful woman and she was awesome. I met her. She has a birthing center in New York City. And we ended up doing some kind of video at the time, like a StreamYard thing like this, not about that container, but around white women and unconscious bias and racism and stuff. And so that was liberating that I found one person. It was hard because I tried to talk to some other women about it and they just didn't want to have the conversation and avoided. So I became the pariah, right? Don't ruin our whatever. But
exactly.
Also people aren't going to get from it what they think. So I'm used to being in that position. I've been in it a lot in my life, but I was very disappointed. Then I actually went to the leader of the second incubator and said, well, this happened in the first incubator. I'm so excited that you have this different culture, because she was leading with that. And in some ways, she does have a very different culture. It's definitely a more evolved culture than the first one. But there are still some really important missing pieces for me around, what really changes people. And then there's manipulation on the back end. Like if you leave that container, you can't come back in for a year. And it's, you know, it's just all about like this kind of this closing down the system. And then you're relating to some people in the container and you're going to lose that. But you're kind of being held in the container and paying this really high amount of money, right? Of like over $3,000 a year to keep going. Just then to sort of be in the container because of the community. So, there's just so many stories. And this is just my experience. I know you had your own in a different capacity, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I wanted to speak to the fact that when you recognize the missing pieces, the lack of ethics, or just the system not delivering what it's being spoken to, that it's promised. When you start to notice that, there is this cult kind of mentality of, okay, you're out because you are no longer a believer and we will not talk to you. It's similar
to the guru thing, the cult thing. Exactly.
It's also a corporate culture, right? Like when they decide you're a bad seed, you don't get to talk to anybody. You're escorted out. Your things are shipped to you, you know, no talking to other people, no making waves and no waking anybody else up. And so it's powerful.
And I think you and I look at the origin story. You're a therapist. I'm a story worker. I was trained as an actor. Like we have our root system in like a deep way of teaching and doing projects and working with people intimately for years because we know what it really takes for transformation. Both of these, at least the people I was in with, came out of corporate culture. you know, right. or came out of like Wall Street, legal, right? So it's just capitalism 101, but it's being repackaged in this way for creatives and healers and entrepreneurs, where it's like kind of shocking. I think that's the biggest shock around this. It's like money is the number one, but we know that happens everywhere in the world, right? But we're being spoken to as if people and service is number one. And to me, that's the disconnect. And the people who thrive in those containers tend to, I noticed, also just have a similar kind of trajectory and mindset. And it's, and right, so that, but there is a disconnect because it's also calling artists and healers into right. it. And that's where it's like this, where it feels like a bait and switch, right? Because right. of the culture.
Right. Because it's, because the marketing is targeted towards these creative, you know, heartfelt people who mm-hmm. then get in a system that they feel like you have to conform to the system of what's being expected. And even if you're not, then you are the bad seed. You're the problem, yeah. and it's just on you. And there's no back reflection on what's really going on. And I know you've had a lot of people come forward as you've shared your story, yes. and that we're thinking about doing some different ways of speaking to this a little more. Because mm-hmm. the truest thing, it's not necessarily about pointing fingers, but to recognize that this is mm-hmm. such a big issue in the online
world. It's a groove. It's a system. It's a mindset, right? It's not just one person or one individual. It's systemic thinking, though, but what it's creating, you know, there's a lot of toxicity in terms of bigger cultural issues and narratives around this, too.
Absolutely. Because to me, that's what I've seen in the coaching world mm-hmm. is that it's gone from this, you know, training, do your work to, oh, training, but hurry up and build your high-end program mm-hmm. and sell it, even though you've, you know, maybe done a little bit of work on yourself, but mostly, you know, you just had your training enough to go build your big program. And there's this real split in the culture, mm-hmm. in the mainstream culture, that is seen as, hey, if you can make it work, then yep. you will be rich and you'll be a celebrity, right? The celebrity consciousness. It's not about, are you really serving? Are you able?
And are you really ready? I mean, it's right. like, right? It's like it takes a while to become good at anything. I mean, look at Malcolm Gladwell's sort of like 10,000 hour rule to start to get to mastery. And I was just talking mm-hmm. to a wonderful somatic therapist a bit in British Columbia about this too. And they were saying to me, yeah, I'm not ready to go as big as you. I'm really at about 5 or 6 years. Because I'm saying, well, I think around 10 years. I was ready to go bigger. It took me 20 years because I didn't know, like in the culture, and I blasted out early and it was big, but then it fell apart. It was unsustainable. And I just had to chop wood, carry water with clients for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this thing of like that it is completely just anybody can go out there, do pay their money to do the high end thing or all of this. It's putting out people who don't have capacity and mm-hmm. empowering them, you know, in a way that, and again, this becomes the ethical dilemma. At what point right. is it even appropriate to have this business? And also, even if it's going to grow online, I understand that it has to have titration. It has to grow and expand naturally. Like I've actually built out more of a team than is quote unquote the usual thing, to make sure that the delivery for my clients, I'm sorry for that noise. That was my phone in the background, but that the delivery is going to be there where it's like, we're not just patching this together with duct tape. This is right. like building a studio, a mm-hmm. teaching practice online, a therapy practice online, a healing practice, whatever the practice is, but to look at it as a practice and mm-hmm. where's the teaching or the facilitation skills behind it. And that is a problem in all these marketing containers.
Absolutely. And, you know, you and I will continue to have this conversation and see how we can connect that with people. You know, Tanya, what would you say, and kind of as we come closer to a close here, what would you say to somebody who's maybe listening and realizing that the dots aren't connecting. They're in a business incubator. They're feeling that fear, because it's a fear to have to call that out, whether you do it out loud to people or just to yourself, that this was an investment gone wrong and you're not going to probably get your money back and you got to walk. Mm-hmm. What would you say?
First of all, if you're going into shame around it, because I've had so many people reach out and they're like, I feel so ashamed. And they've taken it on like that it's their failure. First thing I'd say is it's not your failure any more than if you can't function in corporate culture, or if you're the highly gifted artist or mystic or healer in your family, maybe you are marginalized for that. Don't let the faultiness of the system pull you down, because it's not your fault is the first thing to know. You know, and I'd encourage people to reach out to other people who may be feeling the same way, you know, and to other people who are in deep practice and ethics to start to have conversations. Because I think, well, how are we going to create a new culture? And this is all brand new. We're all exploring, you know, and even the internet, when we think about it, we take it so for granted, but think how new it is. And the Facebook, what, 12 years ago or something, 13 years ago, it hasn't been a long time, but it's changed our entire culture. So if we don't like those cultures, it's about relationships. What it's done for me is have me look around and go, who are my resources? Oh, let me reconnect with Kate. Let me reconnect with this person and that person. And noticing a lot of us are building things and do have these different backgrounds. I think it's about coming into circles and finding new ways to support each other, you know, with intimacy and sharing what we're learning in terms of the skill set. But I think it's about building alternative cultures, just like you and I lived in Santa Fe, unplugged, living in an alternative kind of cultures. Where the skill sets are there, or like teaching cultures, New York acting studio cultures. I was talking to somebody the other day who said, yeah, I want to build like a dojo, you know, who's like a more spiritual teacher and has that kind of background, where it's not about growing as big as we can. That's a huge part of the colonization mindset. Let's eat the world.
Oh, right. No.
Right? Let's stay in our integrity and find our right size thing and start to be in relationship with each other. But I'd say for folks who are really in it, come out of the isolation. And I just want to be one to say, it's not your fault. You know, there's, if you couldn't work in that culture, that's actually a healthy response.
Right.
That's not a toxic response. It's like it's that health in you, right? It's like, there's got to be a better way.
Like when you wake up and your crazy family and you're like, oh my God, this is just no longer acceptable. And they all look at you like, what's wrong with you? And you're like, no, what's right with me? You know, exactly. So that's where we are. We are at that, that stepping stone of how, what do we want to create that is valuable, that is masterful, that is serving, that is in integrity and in alignment really for what it is that many people want. Where can people find you and learn a little more about your somatic writing coaching program work that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, people can come onto my Facebook page. Also, I have a Facebook group, Somatic Writers, and I do free circles and whatnot. And also my website is www.somaticwriting.com. And if anybody wants to reach out and chat about this, I am starting to collect just sort of like names of people and have just been introducing folks, or some people have just been happy to sort of chat a little bit with me as I have walked a couple people, just supported them in a way where they did ask for their money back and got it or got a portion of it. And then other people who haven't, and it's just all been a wash. But just want to say, yeah, happy to just chat. And I think it's a good thing to start to get a list of those of us who are like-minded, who can start to brainstorm and heartstorm, maybe coming into circles together over the next year or so, and slowly, but like, there are enough of us, it's in the zeitgeist. There's actually a lot of us who are looking for, I think, different solutions. It's going to take all of our voices. I know I don't have an answer right now, but I'm sure having some interesting conversations with people like yourself.
Yeah, I think it's a powerful time, because it's, when we see what's not working, that can help us to brainstorm out of the box and say, mm-hmm. what we know what's missing, what do we want, how can we create that, and how do we keep voicing the fact that marketing is the only, marketing is the important piece. If you get your marketing right and you get them in your funnel, you're good to go. How do we keep acknowledging how absolutely non-congruent that really is and that it's causing harm? It's causing harm.
Totally causing harm. And here's the thing that I'm really enjoying these days is just being present, like in this conversation with you. Like, can we just be visible and present on our pages and with each other's? Because to me, it's not marketing then. That's like, this is who I am. And if you're have an attraction to like the kind of work I do, you're welcome to chat with me about it, whether it's going to be in a paid format or not. You know, but like these conversations and being present to me, I think the funnel thing is going to fall apart. I think it's going to blow up too, because I'm noticing with my students and everything in our mailing list, people aren't even really interested in it anymore. People are interested in coming in, having conversations and real experiences. Like, we're not really even doing all the follow-up emails anymore. It's like one email, like, if you want to talk to us, basically, come on. Because I don't want people feeling manipulated by me. And I think there's a big trust factor where that's already starting to like jump the shark and people are seeing through it. And I've used it because I was like, well, I need to do this right for follow-up. And my whole team and everything were like, no, we just need to reach out to people and be available.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we'll keep talking, and because I think for sure we're going to see more people who are going to need this idea of what's new and how do I communicate and connect with people. So, Tanya, it's been such a gift having you here. And is there any closing word you have to say at this moment?
Well, I just love what you said, what's new. And I'm like, what's new is what's ancient, right? It's just about relationships and being human together. And maybe we can make, you know, that marketing thing interesting. And I feel like my whole journey has just taken me back to what I already know deep down. Like, let's just be present and be human beings and have relationships. And like, that's how we grow our work in the world. And the online community is a great opportunity. And we don't have to get sidetracked by stuff that feels out of alignment.
There you go. I love it. Okay. Well,
thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you so much.
Can't wait to chat more.
Those of you who've joined me today, I so appreciate you being here. And I just want to hope that you are taking away some, you know, comfort maybe in what you've heard today, you know, that you're not alone if you've gone through this. And if you're in the middle of it, that you will come through. Take some inspiration that encourages you on that journey and feel free to reach out to Tanya or myself. If you're listening, please subscribe, share, give us a review if you're so moved. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, and I'm reminding you to it's your turn to find your voice, to own your truth, and claim your power.